Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I am your host, William Brigley. Come on in, pull up a chair, and sit down as I discuss the world of archaeology, anthropology, and other such fields, and how it relates to modern paganism. Hope you enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I'm your host, William Brigley. Thank you, everyone, for once again tuning in to the show, and thank you for showing your support. You can also like my page on Facebook just by doing a quick search for Visions of the Past. So far, we have discussed topics from more than 20 locations around the world. We had a number of special guests on the show and talked about multi-faith families. This next topic actually comes from a coworker of mine, so I send a big thanks to him. And if you have any ideas that you'd like to hear aired on the show, that have any historical value or relate to paganism in that nature, please feel free to post them on my Facebook page or send them to the show's email address at xxvisionsofthepastxx@gmail.com. I'm always looking forward to reading any emails I receive or reviewing the topics that you'd like to see aired. In many different earth-based beliefs the world over, we find that we all associate with the divine in our own individual way and have our own image that we connect with. Whether it is from Chinese, Indian, excuse me, Egyptian, Roman, Greek, or even native mythology, our image of the divine is a personal one and equal to that of any other person's. In connecting with our image of the divine, it's also equally important to know the history of that particular deity. It's like an intimate relationship. You will want to know everything you can about them before you make any decisions. In addition to this, it also helps us understand the beliefs of others without prejudice. In finding commonalities between our beliefs and that of others, we begin the path to having an open dialogue. Just like my intent on the show, be sure to conduct research from reliable sources to learn the true stories of our ancestors. As a reminder, if you do miss one of the shows that air on the network, we host the archives on our website at spiritualunityradionetwork.org, as well as post links on our show's Facebook pages. Now, I've had a question regarding the show's archives. The link we post on Facebook and other sites doesn't change between it directing you to the live broadcast or the archive of that particular episode. So if you do miss the live show, just follow the same link. The only thing that is not available with the archive is the chat room, of course. So if you can make the live show, we also have conversations going on there with the listeners. So if you're interested in partaking in the conversations, just go to blogtalkradio.com and sign up for a free account. The chats can be a great time as well. You never know what sort of side topics will come up. So I encourage you all to sign up. It's pretty good. I've had some pretty interesting conversations while talking about a completely different topic. So for our new listeners, all of our shows are also on iTunes, and I do have a link posted on my Visions of the Past Facebook page, and it's also located on the CERN page also. Our archives are now also available on the TuneIn webpage, complete with a schedule of when the show aired and a player that autoplays the last episode for you. So do drop by to check it out. It is one of our many ways that we are reaching out to you, our listeners. Again, if you like our topics, please let your friends know. You are also more than welcome to leave comments on our page. We're also looking for ways to enhance the network. One way is through having a great selection of singers and bands for you to listen to. And I'd like to give a shout out to all the bands and artists that have so graciously donated their music to us so far. It is very much appreciated, and I'm sure that all of our listeners out there appreciate it as well. So thank you very much. And for everyone out there, try to support these guys any way you can. Maybe buy a song or two through their sites, or maybe purchase an album. Every little bit helps. This is what these guys do for a living. And like I said, they are graciously donating us their music. So I'm sure they would appreciate it. Just like with all shows, I will be providing links to the sources to where I obtained my information from with the archive on my Facebook page. This gives you the opportunity to view the information and take a more in-depth look at any topic I discuss here on the show. As for tonight's topic, we will be discussing a people who migrated from the Iranian homeland in Central Asia to southern Russia between the 8th and 7th century BCE. The Assyrians called them Ashkuz, Kumuri, and Gemiri. The Romans called them Scythiae, and the Greeks called them the Scythians. Before we get into our topic, we're going to kick things off with a song by one of my favorite artists here on the network. And it's a song by Darn the Bard, and it's Antlered Crown and Standing Stone.
Within the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. And everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to grey to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken. And oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken.
I am child of Barleycorn, and I am there is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so.
You're listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Darn the Bard and his song Antler Crown and Standing Stone. Just one of the many great artists here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. You are listening to Visions of the Past, and tonight we are discussing the Scythians. Jumping right back into our topic, the Scythians were members of a nomadic people centered on what is now Crimea. The Scythians founded a rich, powerful empire that survived for several centuries before succumbing to the Samaritans during the 4th century BCE up until the 2nd century BCE. Much of what is known of the history of the Scythians comes from the account of them by the ancient Greek historian Herodotus, who visited their territory. Herodotus was a Greek historian from Ionia, notably known for his writing of the histories, other ancient writers. Herodotus does not attribute his narrative to divine sources, but rather indicates that this is his work and no others. His writing was later divided into 9 books by editors, of which the first 6 deals with the growth of the Persian Empire under the rulers of Choresus and later Cyrus the Great. The second book is largely concerned with Egypt, annexing of it by Cyrus' successor, Cambyses. The next 4 books consist of the expansion of the Persian Empire under Darius, the Ionian Revolt, and the burning of Sardis. The 6th book details the first Persian attack of Greece and the defeat of the Persians at the Battle of Marathon in 490 BCE. The last 3 books describe Xerxes' invasion of Greece and their eventual defeat at Salamis and Plataea in 479 BCE. There is not a lot of information about Herodotus, and most of our information about him comes from his actual writing itself. In modern times, his record regarding the Scythians has been expanded chiefly by the work of Russian anthropologists. Beyond the historical narrative, Herodotus is one of the primary sources for information on ancient lands and peoples, including anthropological, geographical, and other information. Dense of details in the narrative relating to the spiritual practices and beliefs of the Greeks and other people. The Scythians, he wrote about, were feared and admired for their prowess in war, and in particular for their horsemanship. They were among the earliest people to master the art of riding, and their mobility astonished their neighbors. The migration eventually brought them into the territory of the Cimmerians, who had traditionally controlled Caucasus and the plains north of the Black Sea. In a war that lasted 30 years, the Scythians destroyed the Cimmerians and set themselves up as rulers of an empire stretching from West Iran through Syria and Judea to the borders of Egypt. The Median dynasty, who ruled Iran, attacked them and drove them out of western Iranian lands and Anatolia, leaving them finally in control of lands which stretch from the Iranian border north through the Kuban and into southern Russia. The Iranian Scyths were remarkable not only for their fighting ability, but also for the civilization they produced. They developed a class of wealthy aristocrats who left elaborate graves filled with richly worked articles of gold and other precious metals. The royal Scyths finally established themselves as rulers of the southern Russian and Crimean territories. It is there that the richest and most numerous relics of Scythian civilization have been found. Power was sufficient to repel an invasion by the Iranian king of King Darius the Great in about 513 BCE. The royal Scyths were headed by a sovereign whose authority was transmitted to his son. Eventually, around the time of Herodotus, the royal family intermarried with Greeks. In 339 BCE, the ruler Ateas killed at the age of 90 while fighting Philip II of Macedonia. Can you imagine being on the battlefield at the age of 90 years old? That right there is a person that is in one hell of a good shape right there. The community was eventually destroyed in the 2nd century BCE, Palacus being the last sovereign whose name is preserved in history. When we return, we are going to discuss their deities of which they worshipped. So for now, we are going to listen to a little Jenna Green and her song, Muse. Stay tuned.
For a fire I cannot see.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Jenna Green and her song, Muse. You are listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And for a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network, and to learn more about our hosts, visit spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry Power's website at revterrypowerhp.com. This is a man who loves to travel the world over and is always willing to discuss his adventures, so come on by and check it out. And we have Reverend Chuck Chapman's Lady of the Circle in the Oaks website at ladyofthecircle.org. And for our listeners, our show's airing every week here at CERN at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Tuesday night, we have Reverend Terry Power's Power Hours. And on Wednesday night, we have the Soapbox Witch with Reverend Chuck Chapman. And on Thursday night, we have another match between Reverend Terry Power and Reverend Chuck Chapman when we get together under a shady tree. So tune in, check that out. And on Friday night, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with our hostesses, Lisa and Robin. And on Saturday, we have Lady of the Circle in the Oaks with Reverend Chuck Chapman. On Sunday night, we have another hostess, Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, with her show, Sacred Divergence Radio. Then on Monday night, you're back with me again for another episode of Visions of the Past. This is where I bring you the discoveries in the fields of archaeology, anthropology, and all sorts of other professions, and how it relates to modern paganism. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's episode of Visions of the Past, and to those listening to the archive. We are discussing the Scythians. Before the break, we discussed some of their history and their place of origin. The basic Scythian pantheon included seven gods, which all equated to Greek deities. Their functions, which are not always clear, have been determined chiefly on the basis of their identification with Greek gods by our Greek historian Herodotus, and sometimes on the basis of the etymology of their Scythian names. The pantheon was divided into three ranks. In the first rank was the Tabiti, the Greek Hestia, or Hestia. In the second were Peis, or Zeus, and Api, which is Gaia. And in the third were Otisirius, or Gotosius, which is Apollo or Aphrodite, both of them, and two gods whose Scythian names are not known, but who have been identified with Hercules and Ares. Possible that the first of these unnamed gods is identical with the primeval figure of the Scythian mythology, Targitaris, who was also identified in the classical tradition with Hercules. The structure of the Scythian pantheon is not so much a system of reflecting the cultic hierarchy of the gods as it is a system of mirroring the structure of the universe. The very number of gods reckoned in the Scythian pantheon corresponds to ancient Indo-Iranian tradition. The predominant position of the goddess of fire and the hearth, Tabiti, the flaming one, or the burning one, corresponds to the Indo-Iranian concept of fire as the primeval substance and the basis of the universe. Where have we heard that before? The conjectural couple, Papias, father, and Api, from the Iranian Ap, water, personifies the concept common among the Indo-Iranians of the marriage of heaven and earth, or water, as a cosmological act. From their union was born Targitaris, the forefather of the Scythian people and the Scythian royal dynasty. His mythological birth may be interpreted as the formation of the middle zone of the cosmos, in other words, the world of people. So these two groups of people, we're talking Indo-Iranian and Greeks, followed polytheistic beliefs and were able to relate to one another through common aspects of their deities. So much so that Herodotus could see the direct commonalities and wrote about them and related to them in that way. The Scythians were great artists in their own right as well. Their art is also called steps art, which consists of decorative objects, mainly jewelry and trappings for horse, tent, and wagons. Many of the most impressive solid gold pieces of Scythian art, part of the treasure at the Hermitage, St. Petersburg, and were recovered in the 17th to 19th century. The Scythians worked with a wide variety of metals, including wood, leather, bone, apalic, felt, bronze, iron, silver, gold, the tombs of Pizarik in Altai yielded many well-preserved articles of clothing that were profusely trimmed with embroidery and applique designs. The clothing of the wealthy in southern Russia were covered with tiny gold embossed plaques sewn into the garments. At Pizarik, felt applique wall hangings were found, some displaying religious scenes featuring what is known as the Great Goddess or anthropomorphic beasts, others with geometric or animal motifs. Felt rugs were also found, as well as a vast number of beautiful made tools and domestic utensils. The art of the period is essentially animal art. Combat scenes between two or more animals are numerous and are single animal figures. Many real or mythical beasts are also represented. The majority of the types have been having roots in deep antiquity, but the Scythians fashioned them in a manner that was new and characteristically their own. As is to be expected with nomads who were consistently on the move, the decorative objects they produced are generally small in size, but many are made of precious materials and practically all are of superb workmanship. The Scythian gold figures of semi-recumbent stags, measuring some 12 inches in length, are outstanding. They were probably used as the central ornaments for the round shields carried by many Scythian fighters. In three examples found of the stag, it is depicted in a recumbent position with its legs tucked under its body, but with its head raised and its muscles taut, so that it gives an impression of rapid motion. The Scythian artistic idiom is one of great compression, as well as the synthesis. Contrasting positions of the body are combined with astonishing skill to depict every possible aspect of the animal when visualized during all its diverse activities. Though the art is basically representational in character, it is at the same time imaginative in spirit, often verging on the abstract in conception. Yet, however complex its elements, they are fused in the finished work into a single entity of compelling force and beauty. So even in antiquity, these people were amazing at what they did. So once again, we have covered another ancient polytheistic culture, learned about their history, beliefs, and art. We also learned about the man responsible for recording it. Dodus was also referred to as the father of history. So, I do hope that the information that I bring on the show helps you on your own path and inspires you to conduct research from reliable sources. to learn the true history that we so hold dear to ourselves, both personal and among our communities. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show and decide to tune in for next week's episode. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. And we couldn't just leave off like this. So tonight, we are going to finish off with a little Tuatha Dé and their song, Tufa. Good night, everyone, and may you blessed be.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.